Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you're listening to Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us again this week. This is the Drilled with Dr. Brady podcast. I am Dr. Brady. Absent today is our normal co-host, Lowell. He is not in today. He has taken a break, but we have an amazing guest who I want to introduce, who's going to join us today. We're going to be talking about a couple of really important things to me. And so I was really excited. I was really excited to meet the acquaintance of this fella. We have with us Nathan French, who is a co-founder at a place called Attention Driven Marketing, which is an agency that is specializes in working with dental practices to create kind of video content, a bit basically to grab the attention of potential clients. And we met at Bulletproof Dental Summit not too long ago. Nate, welcome to the podcast. How you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on, Brady. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Let me tell you, let me get this right. So, I'm looking at your LinkedIn and it says you're a former nomadic freelancer. I don't know what that means. Who the heck are you? What are you all about, Nate?
Yeah. Man, I haven't updated my LinkedIn profile in a long time.
It does look like it needs some attention.
It needs a little bit of attention for sure. That's last time I said that. So I don't know how far back you want me to go, but I was at that time doing kind of the nomadic, digital nomad, traveling, living, working abroad in different countries thing I'm still doing it. I live in Mexico now, so I'm in a little beach town on the Pacific coast, but much more stable. I'm not moving around as much, but I was hopping around from Colombia to Peru to Argentina and all different kinds of beautiful, beautiful countries, and had some really, really cool experiences. I can't just kind of move around there. That was kind of my life from probably 2017 through 2019, 2020. So kind of since how COVID hit, kind of put a kibosh on all travel.
Yeah, for sure. Let me just tell the viewers how I came into contact with Nate French. I'm a big fan of the Bulletproof Dental podcast. Craig and Pete provide some great content. And so they put out a summit, which is just a gathering of dentists and dental teams that happens once a year. And it was in Austin, Texas, not too long ago, maybe a month, 2 months, something like that. Not too long ago.
Yeah, time over a month, I think.
Something like that. And Nate was one of the keynote speakers at the event. And I was told by people. In fact, a mutual friend of ours, Shane, Shane McElroy, who works with Zimmer, he works with an implant company. He said, dude, if you're going to go there, pay attention when Nate French talks. He told me that. And I was like, okay, I don't know anything about this dude, but I'm going to pay attention because Shane told me to. I usually, like, whatever Shane tells me to do, I just do the opposite. So you can tell him I said that. So I almost completely ignored you for your whole, but I'm glad I didn't, because you started talking. Here's what I love, man. I want to tell you. I love it when non-dentists get into the dental space and get a platform to talk to dentists, because there's so much that you get that we don't get, that we lose sight of, that we just kind of like, I don't know. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to start off with a story. So I'm reading this book called 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. And he shares a story. If you're familiar with Jordan, he's a very popular psychologist. A little polarizing sometimes for people, but he has a daughter named Michaela who also has a podcast, and she was diagnosed with arthritis, a form of juvenile arthritis at the age of 2, wasn't walking right. Very early on in her life, in her teenage years, she had this prosthetic ankle made, and she just had all these type of issues with hips, and he just goes through one of the whole chapters is just talking about how he dealt with this illness. And he tells a story of they were considering like more surgery for her, and it was just going to be terrible on her, and they didn't know how they were going to do it. And they went and saw this doctor who started taking her ankle and massaging it and moving it in very odd ways. And miraculously, he had done something by physical manipulation that completely relieved her of her pain instantly. And he says, my daughter doesn't cry very often, but so it was shocking for him to see, but she just immediately put her head in her hands and just was sobbing and thankful and grateful to this doctor who had just relieved her of all her pain. And I immediately thought, well, dude, that's kind of what dentists do all the time. And I bet this doctor goes back to his office, and just because he does this every day, just thinks, what's for lunch? What's next? What's the next step here? And I feel like dentists are the same way. So when you have a guy like you, Nate, who you kind of see, like, because we might change some smiles 3 or 4 times a day, a dentist might. And so it becomes a desensitized type of experience where it's like, oh yeah, yeah, it looks really nice. You're welcome. Thanks a lot. And we move on with our day, and we don't maybe sometimes understand the magnitude of what we've just accomplished. What drew you, first I want to ask you, what drew you, because you have some amazing talents and your ability to understand how to capture attention is awesome. What drew you to dentistry?
To be completely honest, it was my relationship with Pete. So
Peter Bolden?
Probably in like 2018, yeah, Peter Bolden. So I was probably 2018, again, I was just dirt back, dirty backpacker trekking through Argentina.
I was just a dirt back.
Freelance work. But just kind of like traveling around, and I was on a site called Upwork, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. It's just a very popular site for you to find freelancers. And I get a message from this guy, and he's like, hey, I need someone to kind of come in and take a look at some Facebook and Instagram ad campaigns I'm running. Can you help me out? I think I've been, taken advantage by this agency I'm working with. I just pay a couple $100. You pop in, let me know what you think. Give me some recommendations. And just let me know. I just want like an audit on him. So I go in, do it. He loves it. We get along really well. He loves my suggestions. He comes back. He's like, hey, can we work together? And I was like, you know what, man? Like, I'd love to work with you, but actually I have this big backpacking trip planned. I was going to do like a 6-week thing, hitchhiking through the Chilean Patagonia. So down the Carretera Austral.
Oh my gosh.
The southernmost road through all of Chile.
What is your life? What is your life? That's amazing.
So I told him, I was like, hey, I'd love to work with you. You seem great, but you got to wait until I get back from this trip. So long story short, I go on the trip. It's great. It's incredible. Come back, and I just start working with him. And he and I kind of just get into the kitchen together. And over the course of a year, we just start experimenting with different ad types, different ad campaigns, different strategies, and then really stumble upon the fact that video, and specifically storytelling, is the key to all of it. We like kind of feel like we cracked the code. And so really it was just kind of this thing that I don't want to say I stumbled into, but it just kind of came to me, and I was like, oh, this is, and over time I kind of saw like, oh wow, like dentists, one, are like, really, they're taken advantage of a lot by most marketing agencies and mm-hmm. just general marketing companies, and they're sold as bill of goods for a lot of services I don't think they necessarily need, or I don't think are that kind of, I don't want to put it down, but not necessarily at the core of what they should, I think, be focusing on in terms of their messaging and their branding and the marketing that they're doing. And then two, it was just, there's incredible opportunity for this. Like, this is what dentists, like we had talked about kind of before we hopped on, this is what dentists need to be doing. They need to be sharing these stories. This right. is it. Like, this is. And so from there, it kind of evolved into me branching out and starting the agency and taking on more clients and building it up. And then just from there, momentum really picked up, because each practice I'd go to, each, client I'd go out to visit and do a shoot with, each series of patients that I'd interview and get their stories from, I kept hearing the same thing, the change that they'd go through, the change in confidence, the change mm-hmm. in how they felt about themselves, viewed themselves, went about their day-to-day life, overall, all this stuff. And I was like, wow, this is like really impactful stuff. And that's what kind of drew me in to working with dentistry, because honestly, before this, I had no idea about the impact that dentists had. I just kind of thought of them, no offense to you or any other dentist, it's just like kind of these stuffy guys who work in these offices. I just thought of my childhood dentist, this guy's kind of in a small office. He's always like, he was cool. He was nice, but he was just kind of like in his office hanging out doing his thing. I didn't know, like, how, one, how interesting and cool dentists are. And then two, just like you said, the incredible impact and change they have on people's lives. So that's kind of a long answer.
No, I love it because I feel like you bring something to the table that if you were a dentist with your same set of skills, you may not have had the ability to kind of maintain a grasp of the magnitude of what dentists are capable of, and then therefore understand how important the storytelling aspect is. Because for a dentist, it's just like, it's just Tuesday, man. That's all it is. My executive director of Halo is Lowell, who is normally my co-host as well on the podcast. And I met him. He was my patient first. That's how we met. He was a patient of mine. Walked right in and started doing some work on him, and he needed a lot of work. And we started chatting. He had some talents in audio engineering and music and composition and things like that, and had a lot of interest in the things that I was doing. And so little by little, I was like, hey, you want to help out with this little podcast thing I'm doing? And he's like, yeah, hey, I'm going to make this video. You want to help out with this little video? He's like, yeah, I'll pick this. So slowly started picking things up. And he got the bug too. He was like, all of a sudden, like, man, I never thought dentistry was so, like, it is not what I thought it was. Like, pulling the curtain back and seeing, like, the lives behind the dentists, what motivates the dentists, and then the patients and understanding what they're going through. And then he went through it himself because he was, and we've talked about this on the podcast, so Lowell's okay with me talking about this, but, you know, he was close to losing a bunch of teeth, and had we not come in, so when I first started working with Lowell, he let me pay him in porcelain. That's what I said, I'll fix your teeth for you, man. I can do that for you. But you know, Halo doesn't have any money right now. We're just kind of, it's just kind of a thought.
I love it.
And I can pay you in porcelain. I know you have a wife. I'll do her work too. And so we started, just kind of bartering that way. And then eventually he, put me in his debt with how much work he was doing. But so I just love this idea of these non-dentist types, who kind of somehow stumble into the business of dentistry and help out.
Well, Pete and I,
yeah, go ahead.
Pete and I have talked about this before, and I think this is common for everyone in their profession. You kind of are not in a fishbowl, but you kind of get in this mentality of just assuming that everyone else knows what you know and does what you do and can, you know, understand things.
Exactly.
That you understand, and you don't realize that, like, that's just your personal reality, and it's to a lot of other people, it's like, wow, that's incredible. You can do that. This is what you do. This is. And so, like you said, I think it's good sometimes. There's actually a really good book by David Epstein called Range. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Anyone else who listened to this, I highly recommend the book. It's one of the best books I've listened to and read in the past probably 2 to 3 years. It's all about, you know, the importance of, not the importance, but the value of being a generalist and of having differing skills and skill sets and being kind of a late bloomer, someone who experiments and goes through experimental periods and dabbles in a lot of different things. But he specifically talks in the book about how there's companies like this company Inocentive where they specifically outsource problems. So you have a problem. One of them was, there was a barge that was trying to clean up the oil from the Exxon Valdez in Alaska. And the problem was that when it get really cold, the viscosity of the oil, I can't say that word, but the oil would become too thick. They call it like jello. And so the machines that went to process it weren't able to process it and take it onto the barges and take it out of the water. And they just couldn't figure out how to do it. So they you know, paid Inocentive, like, hey, here's our problem. See if you can find it. And some lawyer from Indiana solved it. And he's like, oh yeah, when I was a kid, we used to have these things where, like, when the concrete would get too hard in the sun, we just stick it in there, and it was just like a metal rod that would shake, and it would shake up the concrete and keep it soft so that we could keep using it, and it wouldn't harden in the pile. And he's like, what if you just put a bunch of those in the barges and run them and have them constantly moving? It'll break up the oil so that it doesn't have the time to get cold and hard. And it was like, and it solved it. And he had never worked in engineering. He had never worked in, like, oil removal.
Jeez.
So I think, like, to your point, sometimes you can get really good perspectives on things from outsiders who can come in and look at things at a different angle that you might not see because you're in, you know, you're in that field, you're in that space, and you have those kind of inherent blind spots that prevent you from seeing, like, wow, this is really, what if we tried this?
Yeah. And you, in your presentation at Bulletproof, what really kind of stood out, I think a couple things. Number one, you had the, was it you that showed the Tide commercial as part of your presentation?
Oh, the Geico commercial.
Was it Geico?
Yeah, the Geico commercial. Yeah. With iced tea. Iced tea lemonade stand.
Yeah, that was one. That's not the one I'm thinking of. That might have been Craig. That it was the one where he asked if raise your hand if you know what this thing is selling. This ad is selling. Was that his presentation?
Oh, or yeah, that was Craig. That was Craig.
Okay, well, I won't talk about that then. I'll talk about this. What I liked about your presentation, which I know you talked about, was something along the lines of like what dentists are, let's see, wait, you spoke about, where am I? I'm drawing a blank, man. I'm drawing a blank. Literally
Kodak company. I think is what you're getting at with Kodak and the kind of the fall of the Kodak company and how they kind of forgot what industry they're in. I think sometimes dentists forget that too. They focus on the technical aspects of dentistry and veneers and bonding and all, you know, implants and on X and on six. And they forget that like the real core, like we talked about with Lowell and like you talked about with Lowell. And like I hear when I talk to people and interview them, the real core of why people want dentists for, you know, how they to feel better, to feel more confident, to meet, you know, a partner, to get a job, you know, I mean, just all these things, like you don't realize the effect that like your smile really is the gateway to your soul, to your personality, to any type of human connection. And that's really what you're selling. You know, that the process to get there and how you get there, those are all auxiliary things. The
because,
core of it is,
and now I'm back on my thought process. Sorry for that little hiccup. What I love that you presented, and Kodak definitely segues into this, was you presented an idea that I think was probably shocking to most dentists who were there. But the idea was, hey, you have to understand people don't like you. Like people don't want to be there.
Yeah.
So you're selling a product that nobody really particularly like wants, right? Like, and I think some dentists are like, wait, what? Like, people don't like, I think dentists, like, they know that people don't want to be there, but they think so highly of what they do that they realize that, like, actually, if people could choose, there's 1,000 other places they'd rather be than hanging out with you.
Totally.
Which again has to say, like, well, you got to frame it differently. You got to frame the story differently. It's about the, you know, it's about the destination, not so much the journey. It's what it's going to do for you, helping people understand that big change. One thing that's interesting to me is how very few dentists market at all. I don't know if you run into that, but like dentists just don't, the majority of dentists don't do any marketing at all. Not a single thing. They just keep on, things just keep on happening to them. And they don't do anything to put themselves out there. And I think that's a mistake. I don't know how you feel about that, but I mean, I guess dentists sometimes are just kind of healthy, feel healthy in what they're doing, and they don't have any desire to like do anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I obviously work in marketing and advertising, so I think it's a very important thing to do. But I don't think, it's tough to say because I see dentistry as a business and a business model. I work with clients, and I know you can go through that. You can just work with, you know, PPO providers and work with insurance companies and just get this steady flow of patients. It's the same patients that came to the practice 10, 20, 15 years ago. But I think for scaling and growing, and then I think really for dentists who want to focus on some of those higher end or larger procedures where you're doing like an all on four and all on X type of implant, you know, full reconstruction, you're doing a full veneers and this and that, you need to market, you need to differentiate yourself, and you need to sell something more than just the dentistry. You can't just be sitting there waiting for someone to come and say, hey, I want veneers, because that might happen from time to time. But I think that type of work will require more of a proactive approach. But yeah, I am fascinated each practice I go to, the different approaches that doesn't seem like with some businesses, like, you know, you can, some industries you can see there's kind of a set way of doing marketing, and it seems like with dentists there isn't. Like every practice I go to work with, every new client that I take on, they all have a different approach. Like, yeah, we do a little bit of this, we've tried this, we do some of these Google ads, we've done this, but no, it doesn't seem like there's any consistency with the approach. So I guess I agree with what you're saying for sure.
Yeah. Well, so I'm listening to your presentation, and you start talking about, I know you're not a dentist, and you start talking about how, hey, you dentists need to come to terms with the idea that no one likes you, at least from the get go. You're starting with one foot in the hole.
Get ahead of it.
So you got a project. It's not like you're selling, you know, lollipops and ice cream. People or maybe aren't there because they want you to be there. And then you start talking about telling stories, and you started by telling your own story, which I thought was brilliant. And I'm just like, freaking, who is this guy? And I was like, fine, Shane was right. This guy's got something really cool to say. And so I was like, oh man. So it's really awkward because when you're, I don't know how you feel, if this is awkward for you. It's awkward for me as someone who views the presentation and like, I want to talk to that guy. I want to go up and talk to him. And I feel like I'm back in middle school. And it's like somehow analogous to like the girl that I want to talk to, but I don't know how to talk. Like, and then you're like talking to other people and I'm finally like, hey, I want to tell you what I want to tell you about me. I want to tell you about what I'm doing, which also seems kind of like self-serving, but I'm like, no. We think very similarly. Let me give you a 30-second pitch on Halo and what we're doing. Cause we're all about telling stories too. And this is going to change and revolutionize dentistry. And I believe like, anyway, so I finally corner you and we get to talking for a little bit. And it's like just a few seconds where I'm like, hey, I think I told you, I'm curious to know what you remember about the conversation. Cause for me, it was like a blip. And then you were off talking to a thousand other people. Cause you killed your presentation. It was really like every dentist in there should have been wanting to talk to you about what you just told them. Cause it's super important from a business aspect. And then you gave me a card. You gave me your card and said, hey, hit me up. And I did. I want to talk about how we're going to talk a little bit about how we've decided to collaborate with each other. But what do you remember about that? Let me ask you this, because it was awkward for me to approach you. Is it awkward for you to be approached by people after a presentation like that?
It was definitely weird. This is funny. I actually have an interesting story. So I learned not very early on, but in my early 20s, that I didn't want to be famous. So I'll tell you a little side story. I was living in Seoul, South Korea. I was teaching English out there, and a buddy of mine, Paul, decided that for Halloween we were going to be Mario and Luigi. Paul was a short Italian guy. Great. I mean, he just looked like Mario. I was the tall, kind of lanky guy. I could fit in perfectly with Luigi. We got the, the overalls, you know, made the hats, had the big gloves, got the... He had a real mustache. I had to kind of make a fake one because I don't really, my facial hair game is not on point. So we go out, right? We go out, we make these costumes, and we didn't really know. This was my second year in Korea, and I hadn't gone out the previous Halloween for some reason, but I didn't know that in Korea, like, they dress up and they like to party and put costumes on, but equally as much, a lot of people will go just to take pictures with other people whose costumes they like. And I had no idea that Mario and Luigi were like very popular characters in Korean culture with like a certain generation. So okay. Long story short, we go out, we go to this neighborhood, Itaewon, which is like the big expat part of Seoul where all the foreigners would go out. It's right next to the American military base. There's lots of really cool bars and restaurants. It was just a big like party area of the city, and they close it all off for Halloween. All the streets are closed. You can't even get in. Paul and I had lines of 20 to 25 people waiting to talk to us and take pictures with us down the street, like shamelessly, like, hey, I know you've been doing this for 30 minutes, but you got to get one with us now. It took us an hour and 45 minutes to walk two blocks from our apartment to where we were going to go meet our friends at this bar. And so I've experienced it. And at that point, I was like, yeah, I think being famous might kind of suck. Like, this would be so much fun if this was my day-to-day life. You know, right. I kind of got a little sneak peek into it. So it's not uncomfortable for me, but it is definitely when you get that level of, like you said, like people approach you because I just want to chat, man. Like, I'm a pretty laid back guy. Like, hey, what's up? Like, I'll talk to you about anything, you know, like I'm not hard to approach, but you see people come up to you and they kind of have, like you said, that middle school, this is the person I want to talk to. And they're like, Tim and Nate. So it's not like awkward, but it's definitely a different vibe than just meeting someone and chatting. Cause people tend to put you up on this mental pedestal. You're like, I don't really know if I belong here. I think I'm just, like you said, I'm just doing the things that I normally do, right? Like, kind of with dentists, like, it's just normal for me. Like, this is, don't you guys know this? Like, right?
It's just a fish out of water type of experience. Like, this is not how I normally would want to talk to someone. Like, I would just like rather be like, hey, can I email you and just text you and I'll tell you what I'm doing? And then like, if you like it, we can chat more.
Totally.
So, you know, but I had this moment where I was like, dude, I really felt strongly that like, there's some collaboration potential here. And you did gravitate towards the things that we were talking about as far as like, hey, I want every dentist to do these types of cases. I want every dentist to have this type of ability to tell these stories. One thing that I think happens is I think dental student, when you're a dental student, So a lot of people get into dentistry because they'll say, I want to help people. And then they get out in the real world and they're like, well, I got student loans to pay. I just bought a house. And all I really am caring about is, like, I got to make my production goals so I hit these marks so I can pay my bills. And you lose sight of, like, you know, what you need to do. And it's hard to sell these cases that are like full mouth cases. So Halo was created because Halo allows every dentist to experience those regardless of their ability to sell treatment, regardless of who their patient base are, regardless of just based on their own skills and talents. That's all they really need. If you have the skills and talents to do that, you know, Halo puts people in front of you who need it, can't afford it, and allows you to be the impetus that kind of changes that person's life and then tell the story. Now, here's where it gets interesting for me, and I want to chat with you, because dentists seem hesitant to want to be vocal about the good things that they're doing. And you'll say, so I've had dentists who are like, yeah, I want to join Halo, but I don't really want you to tell the story. I don't want to like be involved in that way. I just want to do it. And I want to be more private about it. And I've really struggled with this. And I'm interested in your opinion here, because you get the same type of situation where it's like, even if it's a paying customer, it's kind of like feels braggadocious in some way, possibly, of like, look at me. But in my opinion, this is the way that we inspire other people. We have to tell this. I don't see any other way that this works without being able to put this story out there for everyone to see and be able to consume. Do you notice a lot of hesitancy from dentists wanting to like tell the story, totally, be involved in that way?
I don't think that, a lot of the, one of the biggest things that we have to kind of not get past, but like I have to work and coach my clients through when we're kind of going out, when I fly out and I do these shoots. So what we'll typically do is we'll pick like a 4-day weekend and we'll fly out and we'll do like 2 to 3 days of shooting. We'll get all the footage and then we'll come back and, you know, do our editing process. So when we go out for the shoot, is they don't like to be on camera. They're just uncomfortable. It's sure. A new thing for them. They're kind of, you know, worried about looking weird or sounding silly or making a mistake. And so, and I think that's a natural thing for most people. I think most people, when they see that lens staring down at them, they kind of get a little, they freeze up and they don't like to be on camera. And I think, I don't want to say most dentists, but I think a good majority of dentists are naturally introverts. So I think it's not in their just persona naturally to like be like, not braggadocious, but to be more gregarious and more, you know, talkative about what they're doing. So yeah, I've definitely felt that and seen it. The biggest thing that I've kind of felt that has really helped me to kind of get them over the hump of wanting to do that is, one, letting them know, hey man, there's a reason there's an Academy Award for cinematography and a different one for production. Like shooting and being on camera is one thing. We can edit that and make you look cool. So just get over that fear. We'll make you look great. Don't worry. We won't let you look silly. But the bigger one is that, listen, like when we share this story and we share this video, there's going to be someone out there who's going to see themselves in this patient. They're going to see this patient and hear their story. Exactly. And they're like, that's me. I hide my teeth when I smile. Or when I would eat, I don't like to smile in pictures. I don't like going out. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like people are staring at my teeth. They're going to hear that exact story and see themselves. And it's going to inspire them and say, hey, if she or he went through this process and they got a new smile and they can do it and they overcame their fear, overcame whatever financial restrictions or whatever the case may be, if they did it, I can do it too. And that's the greater effect, because like you said, changing someone's smile, it completely changes their life. It completely alters the course of the direction that their life takes. I mean, I've interviewed people and heard, you know, I met my fiance 2 weeks after I got my new smile.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a new job. I am finally interacting and talking with my neighbors, and people talk about how much happier and more confident I've seen now that I've gotten it. So I think pitching it to them and saying, hey, like, it's not necessarily just about you. This is going to create not only more business for you, but it's going to create a more positive effect overall with everyone who sees this video and people who come in. That really kind of, I think, helps them get over that hump. But totally, I think it's a natural thing that dentists just aren't, like you said, they don't really want to be on camera, want to be on video talking about this stuff.
Yeah, it's one of the challenges, I think, with charitable service. And it's definitely one of the criticisms, one of the few criticisms that I've seen come through what we do at Halo. And it's not a heavy criticism, but it's, some people think you should be quiet about the good deeds that you do. And I get where that comes from. And that's not to say that this is the only good deed you have to do. But what Halo is about is is recruiting as many dentists as possible to this type of idea of how fulfilling it is. And you mentioned something just now very casually, but I want to go back to that because you said something about how not only is it going to increase your own business. See now we got dentist attention. Wait. Charitable service can increase my business, increase my like revenue, business, people coming in. And you mentioned it's because Sally down the street sees your video and sees what you can do and understands the transformation because of the visual content that you've created where they can see it. And you've told the story and it's far more effective than like a before and after picture. You know, a before and after picture can be very impactful, but there's no story behind that. All you see is teeth. But when you start talking to people about, yeah, I actually can have meaningful relationships where I couldn't previously. I can maintain a job and feel more confident where I couldn't previously. All of a sudden, it becomes something that these people want to seek out. Would you care to elaborate on your thoughts on how business is increased during by doing not just charitable service but video content or maybe collaboration of those type of, but the idea of like totally. Yeah. why is that so much more impactful in the idea of just drumming up more business for your office?
So I think there's a couple of things to touch on. The first is, and you already talked about it, understanding that dentists are not perceived positively in the public. So they're a business that people are going to seek out of necessity, not necessarily out of luxury or because of a want. So like they don't want to be in the dental chair.
Yes.
So people are coming to you reactively. The second thing is when you create these videos and you share these stories and you share what you're doing, if you can do it in a way that's not too braggadocious and that just focuses on the patient, like, hey, we wanted to help this person. They came in, they're such a cool, you know, have a great personality. We really just wanted to do this. And this, here's what we did. And we focus on their story. That story and that idea, like you said, that will resonate more and that will create a memory and log in someone's mind better than any before and after, better than any, you know, ad they've seen. I mean, think about our conversation, the number of stories that we've already shared. My story from Korea, your story about Jordan Peterson's daughter. That's the stuff that we mentally attach to and that we remember. So someone will see that story, and what it will do and the effect that we've seen is it may not be, I'm going to take a step back because I think this is a more important thing. The biggest thing I think dentists need to understand is that the acquisition process for a new patient is not linear. It is not see ad on Facebook, click on website, schedule appointment, come in, get veneers. That may happen. Most of the time, it won't happen. What the process is going to be like is they're kind of sitting back. They're thinking about getting veneers. They don't like their teeth. They don't like this and that. They see this video. They see that video. They become more comfortable. Oh, that dentist looks friendly. Oh, that's really cool. I like what they did with that woman's smile. And over time, they become comfortable. And maybe 3 to 4 months after they see the first video or the second video or third video or whatever, then they kind of come in and they schedule that appointment. So what we're trying to do with these videos and what I've seen happens is that you share it, you create this attention and this awareness, and it really creates like a positive slow burn in the community about what you're doing and who you are. So you document the story, you create a video, you share it, and then what happens, and I've seen it, I mean, we talked about this before we hopped on the call, I've seen it with 3 to 4 clients of mine where they would literally go to people and say, hey, we know you need help. We know, you know, you're in dire straits, you can't afford it. We'll do this work for free. The only stipulation is just let us document your story, let us share it, and let us use it in our advertising campaign. And we run advertising campaigns promoting it, and they get 3 to 4 to 5 cases of equal or larger magnitude just from that video. People specifically saying, I saw that video. I want to be the next Herb.
Yeah.
I want to be the next JD. So it allows people, I don't know if I'm answering your question well. I think I kind of got off on a tangent, so reel me back in if you don't think I am. But
no, you're doing perfect.
I think the biggest thing that I've seen is just it's creating this attention and understanding that it's not, people aren't necessarily sitting back wanting to come in and wanting to have this stuff done. I mean, beyond just the fears of pain at the dentist, there's fear of, if I get veneers, you'll do it wrong. I'll look like Matt Dillon from There's Something About Mary. You know, like you'll make my smile worse. You know, you're going to, there's a lot of different fears. So you really, I think the best way to make people comfortable is to come in kind of like the subtle cool guy at a bar. And you don't really talk about yourself. You just lay back. And you're kind of like, yeah, these are the people we help. This is the work we do. That's it. We're here. You know, mm-hmm. like, I'm nice. My team's nice. We're friendly. We help people. We do great work. And that gets shared. You know, people talk about that. Those stories. Yeah, I saw this really cool video. Oh, did you see what they did? And then that person that you helped, they're telling their friends. And that just kind of, if you keep doing that, it's a weird way, but like it comes back around where you start to see results. People like you had talked about since you've started working with Halo and doing these, like, you know, these cases, you're like, I just want to help people. Your referral business goes through the roof because everyone's, they're talking about it. And it's hard, it's a harder metric to track. It's not going to be like, okay, we got this conversion from this Google PPC ad, but you see it. You'll see just, you know, the tide starts to rise and everything just kind of improves. Better quality, you know, more patients, better quality patients, larger cases, because you're just putting out a positive image of who you are and people want to be around that. They're attracted to that.
Yeah. And I think one thing I always go back to, there's this really popular TED talk by Simon Sinek about understanding your why and having other people understand your why, which I highly recommend people go watch. Simon Sinek, something about understand your why. I don't know the exact title. But basically, when people see these videos through Halo or any other charitable type of work that you're doing, I think it breaks down like a trust barrier that is normally there where you're like, you don't really know if the dentist are trying to sell you something. And so if you approach it, if before they even get to your practice, they saw you do a $40,000 case for free for someone who was just down on their luck, the psychology of that is like that patient knows you before they ever walk into your practice. And you don't know them yet, but they know you. They know you did something nice for someone. And maybe they didn't see the video. Maybe they know the individual. One of the very first full mouth Halo cases we did was a woman named Bobby. And I think I've told Bobby's story on the podcast before, possibly. I don't know if this is people's first time hearing it. But we did amazing transformation for Bobby. She was nominated by her daughter, Misty. Now, at this point, this was a couple years ago, I thought to myself, I'm going to keep track of anyone that's referred to by Bobby and Misty. I'm just going to, in our intake form, we have a question of how'd you hear about us? And if they say a friend, we ask them their friend's name. And if it was Bobby or Misty, I kept track. I put it in a manila folder and I kept track of all the patients that came in. And after about 8 or 9 months, we were above $18,000 in actual collected revenue from people who knew Bobby and Misty. That's not like life-changing money, but it's also just goes to show, like, I didn't know that was going to happen. I had an inkling and I wanted to actually keep data. I wanted to kind of keep track of that because I had experienced on a little scale so many times, like doing a free crown for a guy. And then he would just go sing. Like, it's like I created an army of cheerleaders that just go out and tell everybody about me. And what never happens to me, never, is people coming into my office saying, hey, you did a free crown for John. Now I want you to do a free, would you do a free crown for me? It just doesn't happen because John doesn't tell people that he got it for free. That's the thing, is that the psychology of that is that John doesn't want everyone to know that he got a free crown. All he wants you to know is that Dr. Smith's the bomb. Go see Dr. If you need a crown, go to him. He's the best. And they don't even know what they're talking about. What's that?
I remember reading in the Tools of Titans, there was a section of the book where they talked about 100 true fans. And one of the guys, mm-hmm. I forget who it was, because there's so many people that Tim Ferriss had put in that book. So I'm not going to remember who it was. But he talked specifically, there's one section, like, 100 true fans. You don't need this Instagram following of 40,000 people. I mean, you probably need more than that. But there you go. Yeah,
I got it.
Right. Index and look it up. Yeah, I love it. But he talks about 100 true fans. These are 100 people who are just screaming and preaching your name from the rooftops and telling all their friends how great you are. And they're out in the community and they're your ambassadors and they're really behind you. The value of that is way more than having 20,000 followers who see your stuff but don't really care. You're just another, you know, picture they see or they scroll past. And so I think that's the other thing with these videos and with just the charitable work in general. I think you create those fans. You create people who get on your sideline and become your cheerleaders and like, this place is cool. They're doing good work. They're good people. You got to check them out. And it's hard to say, but like those little conversations that people have just in passing, you know, they can even, oh, I saw this cool video. This guy, he did this and this, or, you know, let's say Bobby and Christy are at a bonfire or a backyard barbecue or something. And they're talking to 15 to 20 people and they talk about it. And then five of those people talk with their friends about it. Like, it spreads like wildfire and it spreads out. And that
exponentially,
like, the more good work you do, the more, and sharing it you talked earlier, you know, how people have this idea of like, oh, I'm doing good work, I should just do it and be quiet about it and not. But why not share it? Why not? I think it's okay to share selfishly. I think it's okay to look to the universe and say, I'm going to do good things. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to share it. And I hope that good things come back to me, because I think that's how life should work. You know, you do good stuff comes back to you, and it empowers you to do more good stuff.
Yeah.
You
know, I hope it's not the same people that complain about just hearing bad news on the news all the time. Like, people complain about this here, but also, like, that's why you share these things, because it inspires people in a positive way, instead of all they see is the violence and the bickering and the stuff you see so commonly when you just flip the news on. So I just kind of wanted to, I'm looking at your website here, and there's some really awesome stats I wanted to share, because you talk about why videos, and I think this is really important. You say studies have proven that 74% is the amount of video content that represents all of internet traffic. Visual content is processed 60,000 times faster than text. Organic Facebook engagement is highest on posts with videos. Four times more is the amount consumers prefer to watch a video about a product rather than read about it. Videos are 45 times more likely to rank on the first page of Google than text results. Videos generate 1,200% more shares than text and images combined. 1,200%. These are amazing stats that I think, and I didn't even know these before I started creating Halo. So it's just like so interesting to find someone like you who's just, you've dialed this in to like, it's a science, man. And it's just like understanding how to get the right content in the right form, package it up, and then present it to people in the right way to convey the message that you're trying to convey. Which for Halo is, you do good stuff for people, good things are going to happen to you. And one of those things is the ROI on your practice, but also it's just this personal fulfillment. And dentists deal with mental health issues. I think everyone deals with mental health issues. But dentists in particular have a very taxing job mentally. And dentists are commonly associated with high suicide rates. I don't know if that's still the case, but I definitely know a few. I think talk to most dentists and they know somebody who's taken that route. And so the idea of doing something that is purposeful, the idea of taking something and making your purpose in life about making other people happier because they know you. And I think that's what this video.
Happiness exists outside yourself, right?
Yes.
All happiness is going to be outside yourself. When you step out of your own problems, your own head, and your own monkey brain of what your narrative is, and you just say, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do this for someone else. That's where you find connection. That's where you find joy, happiness. I mean, that's the other thing I've noticed. When I go out and we do these shoots and these people come in, the patients are so happy to come in and see the dentist again. The dentist is so happy. They're hugging. They're talking. They spend 15, 20 minutes catching up. You know, like, there's just a tangible human element of, you just feel good for doing this stuff. You know, like, you create a relationship with someone. You create a bond. And again, I think that's just, it's really, really like, you know, that's, I think the one thing I remember from our conversation, the brief one that we had at the summit was, I just saw it and I was like, Brady gets it. Like, he gets it. It's about more than money. It's about more than like creating value for your own personal, like, you know, gathering as many nuts for your personal little basket as possible. It's about doing things for other people, because that's what it's really about. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's really the core of like what, I mean, life should be about, but I think with just any type of health related or healthcare medical like field, want to help people, you know, you're healers.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I feel this. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's interesting because I've noticed that when I look at a restaurant menu, I'm so much more likely to buy anything that has a photograph. Are you that way? Do you notice that? Am I alone on that? If there's a photo, if I don't know what to order and there's a photograph of something that looks marginally good, I am really, really likely to buy it.
If I go to a restaurant and they have photos on their menu, I typically won't order, because I'm like, you know, if it's a good restaurant, you don't need photos on it. Like, people will know. Like, it'll be busy. Like, you just sit down, other people will order, they'll tell you what you're going to order, because they'll know that they're delivering it. They don't need to put pictures on it and oversell it.
I know. Now so you're like, where?
Hear what you're saying, though.
Where's Brady going? Is he going to Denny's? IHOP? Is that where he's going? Those are the menus I know that have pictures on it. That's fine dining for me, my friend. Here's the other thing too. This is interesting, because me and my wife a few years back, we were thinking about buying a franchise called Nothing Bundt Cake. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Okay, so it's a Bundt cake, and they have this cream cheese frosting, and it's delicious cakes, and this like thick cream cheese frosting. And they have little tiny Bundts and then big Bundt cakes, and they're delicious. They're amazing. We got to the point, we ended up not doing it, but we got to the point where we were talking to like the corporate group, and they were going to fly us out to Dallas where their headquarters is at. We were going to talk to them, and they told us a little about the strategy. And basically their strategy is the same as like a drug dealer strategy, which is you're going to just give it out for free to everyone. Find businesses. You're just going to spend the first couple of weeks just baking cakes and just handing them out. And they're like, these little cakes are like crack cocaine, and they are so good that if you give someone a little taste, they're going to come back when they have a staff meeting or a party or a birthday or any kind of event that needs catering of, you know, sweets. And that's what drug dealers do, dude. I mean, they'll give you the first hit for free, man. That's
a sample.
This is what works. And so it's amazing when you have the ability to like, as Dennis, to incorporate some kind of strategy like that, where it's like, I'm pretty confident I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty confident I can make someone happy. So when I find someone who maybe is in need, yeah, do some free workout. Put some of my work out there for free. Get my name on some people's teeth out there in the environment, out there in the world, you know, talking about how good my cakes are or my drugs are or my teeth, right? So it's the same mentality. And I think the stories, helping tell the stories, just kind of taps into that and just amplifies the effect of how truly effective that is and the impact of doing free work for people. Back to the idea of visual. Do you have any knowledge about why that's the case? The visualness of human beings. Is this a universal thing? Are there some people who aren't as visual, or are most people, I mean, is it like just a part of just being human and there's no reason why, or do you know any information about the psychology of why that visualization is so important in the way it influences us?
No, that's a really great question. I think part of it is just comprehension. So I think when, say, for example, you read something, there's a layer of comprehension where you have to read it. Those characters need to get translated into words, into thoughts. You need to process it, create a mental image, and then, you know, put it back out. So I think it's just the speed of it, where I can just see something and I can instantly, without having to use words or have thoughts, just intuitively know what that is. And I have visual references from my own thing, I don't know why that is. But yeah, that's a very interesting thing. That's actually a good question. I don't have a ton of, I guess, psychological background on why we're so visual. I just see it, and I just see it. Not even those stats are one thing, but I mean, just look around. Like, what are the biggest platforms? TikTok, all video. Stories on Instagram. Everyone wants to use stories. All videos, or the majority of them are all videos. You know, like, it seems like that's the way that we prefer to consume content. Probably, I mean, honestly, probably because we're lazy. If we had to talk about it, it's the easiest way for us to look at something, understand it quickly, and then move on to the next thing. And we don't want to have to like work for it, right? Like, we want to do that. You know,
our brains try to minimize the effort, right?
Totally.
Yeah. It does work though. I mean, I feel like, I might just be transferring like my own experience, but like these stats just kind of coincide with like, it's just like, yeah. The visualization of things make things so much easier. I'm reminded of, and this is another polarizing doctor, but Dr. Bill Dorfman. Do you know who Bill Dorfman is?
No, I don't think I do.
So Bill Dorfman in the 90s was a dentist who was featured on America's Extreme Makeover, which was like taking like people, like they did like plastic surgery on them and like did their hair and makeup. And there was always a teeth part of it. And Bill Dorfman was the exclusively featured dentist. And they were going to have, and I've had him on the podcast, and this is very interesting. They were going to have, when they made the show, they were going to have a different dentist every single episode. And the show was just going to pay the dentist their fee to do the work that was needed. And he said, I will do the work for free if you just make me the exclusive doctor of the show. And they agreed.
What a genius.
I mean, yes. And then he created his Zoom whitening products, which became, I think, he sold it some years later for like $3 billion. I mean, it was a huge amount of money that he sold. But he just wanted the notoriety of being on a TV show to have that TV credit. He saw the value in that. I'll do these free cases, but just give me exclusivity and I'll save the production company a ton of money by not having to pay the dentist every time you do one of these cases. So what happened, and this is almost universally accepted as true, is that he was doing mostly like veneers, right? Very cosmetic type of cases. He wasn't dealing with like complete disasters going on, but it was just like these little improvements that have improved facial symmetry and overall appearance, and they look beautiful. He did a great job. And because of the TV show was so popular, there was this huge boon in cosmetic dentistry across the entire United States for like a decade, because the TV showed people what happens. This is what dentistry can do. And so, you know, he goes on Instagram and he shows his abs off on Instagram, and people have opinions on him. But nobody in cosmetic dentistry in the 90s and 2000s will argue that he didn't, that everybody who does cosmetic dentistry owes him a thank you for going on TV and doing that. Like, that was a huge boon for dentistry. And every time we do that, I think, so there's like historical precedent for this, which is super interesting to me. I want to get to
a famous quote, the price, people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And I think that's what these stories and that's what these makeovers do, right? It gets people past the price tag of it and it shows you the value.
Right.
You know, like, put a value on your relationship with your wife. Put a value on, you know, having a strong sense of community and a big network of friends. Put a value on being able to walk into a room and not wonder if people are staring. You know, give me some numbers for that. And you really can't. These are things that they're priceless. And so when you share these stories and you change the narrative to not focus on the technical procedure and the cost and the, you know, the summer discount you're offering for these teeth whitenings, and you shift the other way and you focus on the value of the smile that it can bring to someone's life, that changes the narrative and that reframes it in a completely different way, where people are like, oh, wow, you're right. Like, that is what I want. Like, that's exactly what I want. Like, let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us, I want to try to start wrapping things up, but I want to get to the collaboration. Because attention driven and halo, we put our heads together and we've thought of something that we can do, and it's story related. So if you follow Halo Dental, our YouTube page, you know, we've done a decent job of trying to tell as many stories as we can in the best way we can. But our buddy Nate French here, you had some ideas for us about what we're going to do to sweeten the deal for the docs that. Hold on a second. Sorry, had a call come through. But we had some ideas of how we can sweeten the deal for the docs that come through. So what you've decided to do is help us create that video and then target that towards an audience that's specific to what dentists are looking for once we create that highly produced video. And you've agreed to do that for any docs that decide they want to volunteer for Halo. Did I get that right?
So we'll create... Yeah, so we'll give guides out. So we have internal guides, and we've been doing this a lot. So for shooting and questions to ask and interviewing, and we'll send these to the docs if they want to work with their videographers. If it works out, then we can fly out and we do the shoot, or if they're local and we can arrange to work with the videographer and have them come do the shoot. We'll get the footage, we'll document it. We'll go through and edit the video. So we'll probably, what we typically do, we'll do three different videos. So we'll do one longer video that's probably 2.5-3 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, depending on the complexity of the case and how much footage we have, just telling the patient's story. We'll do a shorter video that'll be 30 seconds long, that'll be a little bit faster moving. We'll use that for Instagram Reels ad campaigns, and then we'll do a 15-second video, which would be like a teaser trailer to the whole story, which we'll use in some of our YouTube ad campaigns. And then what we'll do is we'll take those three videos and we'll offer a 1 month no charge to set up all the ad campaigns, and we'll just share the videos locally. We'll put it out on, like I said, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of these different channels, and really just create that positive attention and positive awareness. And our goal is, one, just to support what you guys are doing. I've learned from all of the interviews that I've done with patients and the different people I've met, the value that a smile has. And so I'm just on board to give that to as many people and incentivize as many doctors to sign up and give that to as many people as possible, but also to show doctors and dentists the real value of the work that they do and the value of sharing it, and how, you know, this can really be an accelerator for your business, and it can really be a driver of a lot of positive attention and feedback that creates more and more business and revenue long term. So,
right.
And the thing is, when we talk about the campaigns, we're not just going to, you know, do these broad reaching campaigns where we're just dropping a pin and then targeting radius. Like, we'll do specific targeting to people who have interest in dentistry, who are searching on Google for keywords or phrases related to dentistry. It'll be highly targeted to people, not just in your community, but people in your community who have an interest in dentistry. So we'll be getting, you know, really, really what I would call like high quality attention, because we're kind of filtering through and using all of this aggregated data that Facebook and Google have accumulated to narrow in and kind of get the ads in front of people who are most likely to want this type of work in the future. So yeah, we're stoked to work with you guys. It's gonna be fun.
Dude, that is, you know, you said, you mentioned this about me when we chatted, but I feel like the way I feel about you is like, yeah, dude, Nate gets it. That's it. You just get it. Some people get it, and some people take a little bit of, you got to grease the wheels a little bit. But man, I love how fast you got it. I love how easy it was to chat with you. That was not my experience in high school, middle school dances. That was, it was never as easy as you made it for me. So I appreciate that. Thank you, for being so kind. But listen, dentists out there, this is a great time to volunteer for Halo. This is such an amazing value. And it makes, and the whole point of Halo is making it easier, taking down the obstacles that get in the way of doing free dental work. Because I believe that dentists want to do this. I believe there's lots of dentists that want to. I believe it's expensive. I believe it's hard. It's hard to decide who to do it with, who to do it for, how to give away the gift. There's a lot of logistics involved, and it can be quite expensive. So Halo exists to make it easier. Just as a reiteration, we are also partnered with BioHorizons that will give you a free surgical kit, which is about a $4,000 value for doing a free case with us. You'll get all the implants donated by BioHorizons. So that's another couple thousand dollars of equipment taken care of. We can subsidize lab fees or completely eliminate lab fees for most of our cases. So the list is getting longer of why it makes sense to work with Halo and volunteer with us and create a central organization that can help dentists do free work that benefits the entire profession. So, Nate, thank you for making that list just a little bit sweeter. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you bringing me on and letting me collaborate with you, because I'm excited. I think you guys are doing wonderful work, and I'm really, really, like I said, we're really excited to be a part of it. And to any dentist out there who hears this and is tuning in, do it. Like, if you can, in any way, shape, every client, every person I've worked with who's done this type of work, they haven't regretted it. It's been one of the most enjoyable parts of their year, month, quarter, whatever you want to say, in terms of the work they've done. It really is. You can change lives. You can create a lot of impact for people. It's amazing.
Thank you for that, Nate. Before I forget, every week we do a secret word on our podcast, and the secret word, there's a lot of non-dentists, a lot of patients in my local area that listen to the podcast, and I give them $500 of free dental work if they are the fifth person to send me the secret word to drilledpodcast@gmail.com. So I always like my guests, you can think of any secret word you want. It can be a word, a phrase, anything you want, but I'll let you, Nate, have the honors of choosing this week's secret word, which is going to be worth $500 of free dental work at my office. If you don't need the dental work yourself, you can gift this to somebody else as well, which is an amazing gift. So, Nate, I've stalled for as long as possible to give you time to think of a good secret word. What you got?
I want to tie it back to that Exxon Valdez story, just because I want to get another crack to say this word correctly. Viscosity? Is that how you say it? Viscosity? Like the thickness of something?
Viscosity.
viscosity there, this thing.
Yes, viscosity. It's a word to describe the thickness of a liquid. Yes, viscosity. That's a great word. We will be lenient on spelling for that one. That's a that one might stump a few people. That's okay. We'll if it looks somewhat correct, we'll let it slide.
We're gonna make them work for this dental work. I agree.
Well, you should see Lowell makes them hard. Lowell gives them questions. They got to go dig back through. The episode to figure out the answer to the question. He makes it hard on them. But this week's word is going to be viscosity. The fifth person to email the word viscosity to drilledpodcast@gmail.com, either in the subject or in the body of the email, is going to be eligible for $500 of free dental work towards anything that you want or need, or be able to gift that to somebody else in need, which is awesome. With that, Nate, do you want to give out any information on how people can get a hold of you if they have questions or if they're interested in your services?
Yeah, the best way would be just to either visit the website. It's attentiondriven.com. They can send an email to either help@attentiondriven.com, which is kind of like our general internal email that our team's checking and monitoring for requests, or they can just shoot me a personal email. It's nathan@attentiondriven.com. Again, that's one word. And yeah, that's probably the best way for them to reach out to me.
Boom. Boom. Done. Boom. If you are a dentist and you want to volunteer, that is also done through our website, thehalodentalnetwork.org. There's a volunteer form on that. Or you can reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram or any of our social medias. I'm pretty responsive to that as well. But there's a volunteer form for dentists to fill out at halodentalnetwork.org. Nate, this has been awesome. I appreciate what a generous offer. What a fountain of knowledge that you're offering to help us out with. I'm really excited to move forward with you here. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay, everybody, thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. Please follow us on all the social media platforms that we got going. Please share the podcast. Please rate and review. All that stuff helps us out tons. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.